John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God!" When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is God's word.
Please stay open there. We're continuing our series in John. So please open up there. And if you don't have a Bible, grab one from around you and open up to the passage so you can see what we're looking at. Sorry, I'll move this. I think it's a bit too low, that pocket in these pants. That pocket's too far away. Might have to clip it up. All right. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this part of your word as well, where we see you lived and what you did. We thank you for what you did on this earth, Christ, and we thank you for the way that you lived and how we can learn from it. And we just pray that we would be doing this now. Please help us to be listening well, to be taking in what you have to say to us, and really checking where we need to apply these things, God, in our life. We just pray that you would use this in our lives to transform us for you. Help us to be more like you from what we see tonight, so that you would get the glory you deserve. Amen. So, what were the last words of Jesus? What did he leave his followers with and see as very important before he left them and went back to heaven? Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And as well, at the end of Matthew, "All authority," Jesus says, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These are some of the last words that Jesus left with his disciples, those who were following him while he was on this earth. And this is what he most wants from us as Christians. How are we doing at this? Are we making disciples? Are we being his witnesses? Who are you discipling? Or who are you being discipled by? Or how many people as well have we been a witness to and shared the gospel with, maybe this week, this past week, or even the past month? Is there even one? Let alone disciple them and teach them everything that Jesus has commanded. We can neglect what Jesus really desires from us in our lives, I think. And this is what Jesus wants from us. This is what he wants to be our aim, our vision in our churches, in our ministries, in our life. What we're doing, it's so simple, and we need to focus on it, yet we can quickly neglect it. And ministries, our lives, they can get clouded with so many other things that aren't essential. I fear in my life I can get caught on things and doing so many things that aren't essential. And in our life and ministry, so much time we can pour into things that aren't essential and aren't achieving this. Making disciples, growing people to be more mature in Christ. And this is foolish of us to miss what Christ most wants and leaves with us at the end before he goes to heaven. Are you doing this? Are you doing what Jesus left his disciples and told them to do? Well, in our passage today, it gives us the pattern of discipleship and what we should be doing to make disciples. It gives us the pattern. But first, what is a disciple? We need to answer this question. What is a disciple? It's not just the 12 disciples that follow Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not just the 12 disciples, but all of us who are Christians. Even in verse 35, we see that John had some disciples. And that's because the word disciple simply means a student or a learner who follows their teacher's words and actions. And as Christians, we are all disciples of Christ. We're all to be like that with Christ. And in our passage, we're going to see what being a disciple involves as we see some of the first disciples come to Christ. So, we're going to see what is the pattern of discipleship. What is a disciple? How do we make one? And as we look at this, check. Is this in you? Are you showing that you're a disciple? Are you doing these things in your life as a disciple? And as well, are you doing these things to grow others? Are you doing this in other people's lives to grow them to be a disciple? So have a look at our passage. The first thing we see, what is the pattern of discipleship? The first thing we see is that disciples hear about Jesus. Disciples hear about Jesus in verse 35 and verse 36. Verse 35, our passage begins and it says this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. Now this is John the Baptist. And this scene is taking place where John has been baptizing. Back in verse 28, we saw at the other side of the Jordan in Bethany, John was baptizing. And John's there with two of his disciples, and he sees someone pass by. And in verse 36, we see he says this. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Here John points people to Jesus. Even though the next verse it means he loses these two followers and they go off and pursue Jesus. And we see here that John's ministry, it's not about himself. It's not about himself. He points to Christ. It's about Christ. Like Pastor Ian and Pastor Nathan have been showing us, John the Baptist was a humble man. And he was a man that didn't want the glory but wanted all glory to go to Christ. And that's why he says this and he points to Christ. Later in chapter 3, he says that Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. And this is with the humble heart that John has. And he points to Jesus and says, "Look, the Lamb of God," even though the next verse means two of his disciples go off and follow him. And we need to pause here and check, are our ministries and lives like this? Are we pointing to ourselves in our ministries? Are we trying to lift ourselves up? Are we wanting what we have done to be known? Are we wanting people to look at us and follow us? This is stupid because we're robbing Christ of the glory and we're robbing people of what they desperately need. Christ. They need to be pointed to him. And we need to not do this in our ministries. There's a story, made me think of a story of a man who served hard in his life, in many ministries at a church, was always there, involved in lots of things. And after years of doing this, the church had a time of thanksgiving where they would thank God for some of the work that he was doing in their church. And a lady got up to share for how she was thankful for this man she had seen who was doing all these things and had been faithful in all this serving and was doing a lot. And she ended to say the person's name and she said, "The man's friend." And this man's friend took the glory for it. And the man who had actually done these things was shocked. He couldn't believe it, but he quickly let it go and knew his aim in doing all of those things was only to please God. It wasn't to get any recognition. All that mattered was God was getting the glory and that he and his message had been going out in those things. And this is what John realized too. His aim was to only please God and to point to Christ. And it didn't matter if it was pointing away from him, if he was losing followers. That didn't matter. And maybe you face that in ministry as well. You might not receive some of the honor or the recognition, or someone might not thank you. It doesn't matter. It's about Christ. He is to receive the glory. And we're to point to Jesus. And why are we to do that? Well, because John says he is the Lamb of God. And what John's doing here, he's predicting that Jesus is the promised Savior, the Messiah. He's the one who will pay for our sin, take away God's wrath on our behalf. This phrase was in our passage last week, which, as Pastor Ian showed, it's a phrase that shows the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. And we need to check, are we telling the world that there is the Lamb of God who takes away sin? Are we telling them about the Lamb of God that we have come to know and so that they will follow him? This is how we make disciples, by telling people about Jesus. And this is how we first became a disciple, by being told about Jesus in our own life from someone. John just says one thing. He just says, look, the Lamb of God. And then there's a chain reaction we see in the rest of this chapter. And one person after the next follows Jesus, becomes a disciple. We see chase after Jesus. From just John saying, look, the Lamb of God. And this is what we need to do. We need to hear from Jesus. We need to hear about him. We need to be a learner of him to first be a disciple. This is what these two disciples had. They heard about Jesus, and this is the first step in becoming a disciple. Are you doing this in your own life? Are you a learner? Learning about Christ, sitting under his word. This is where we can learn about him, in the Bible. Are we sitting under his word to learn about him? Are you growing to know your Savior more? This is the key and first step to being a disciple. A disciple is a student who listens and learns. Are we doing this in our own lives? And are we teaching others to do that as well? That's what we need to be doing if we are a disciple. And John, he tells two of his disciples about Jesus we see. And what do they do when they hear who Jesus is? They follow. And that's what all disciples should do. When they hear who Jesus is, they should follow. And that's what we see. And this brings us to our second point. In what is the pattern for discipleship? Firstly, we hear about Jesus. Secondly, disciples follow Jesus. Verse 37 to 39. Firstly, verse 37, it says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Why do they follow Jesus? Because of what John has said. Because he said Jesus is the Lamb of God. And that's why they follow. It wasn't to just merely follow this man around, but a following that would lead to an intimate discipleship from him, being his student. This is what these men wanted. When it says they followed him, this word, it's often used in the New Testament to convey the idea of being a disciple. It's used later on in other passages, and we see that's used here to show that they were to be a disciple. They wanted to be a disciple. They followed him, and this is what they were doing. They followed him like sometimes we might have a younger child, or parents might have a younger child following them around and learning from their every move. Or maybe at holiday club or the Kids Express Day coming up, that one child that loves you, and they follow you around that day learning from every move that you do, watching every move, copying you. This is what the disciples here were doing with Jesus and following him. It wasn't just some random following, but it was a focus of following him to learn from him and grow. But why do they follow him in this way? Well, we've already seen it's because they've heard Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Savior, and they longed for him. They wanted him. And this is why we should follow Christ. And we need to ask ourselves right now, is this why we're following Christ? Is it because we have heard about Jesus? We have seen who he is, just like these disciples did. They heard who Jesus is. Is this why we're following Christ? Or are we following because of our family? Because our family follows Christ. Are we following because our boyfriend or our girlfriend follows Christ, or everyone in our school does, or our school as a whole does, or we've grown up in a church that follows Christ, and that's why we're following? If so, if that is why we're following, we're not really a disciple of Jesus. Because we see here that a disciple follows because of what they have heard about Jesus and who he is, that he is their Savior and Lord, the Lamb of God, and they trust in him. And what does this true following look like? Well, next we see in verse 38, have a look, it says, verse 38 to 39, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Jesus says, "What do you want? What are you seeking?" And they immediately say, "Rabbi." They want a teacher. They want someone to learn from. They want to keep learning from him. The religious leaders, the teachers of the law back then, would be called rabbi by those who were learning from them, those who were disciples under them. So these men here want to be Jesus' disciples. They want to learn from him. They weren't just merely following him around, but they wanted to learn from him. They wanted to be around him so that they would then become like him. Just like when you find people in your life, maybe you've had this, people that just speak positively so much, they encourage you so much when you're around them. They always talk about God. You just want to be around them because of that, and you want to be around them so that you'll become like them and learn from them. And this is what the disciples wanted with Jesus. They had found something good, and that was the best, and they wanted to have that. They wanted to be around him. And it shows in the next part in how they want to know where he is staying. They want to be with him and stay with him. Jesus tells them, when they ask this, to come and see. He tells them to come and see. And we learn later that these two individuals being referred to become two of Jesus' disciples. Firstly, in verse 40, if you look there, you see one of them was Andrew, who we know later, we know in Matthew chapter 10 or in Luke, the list of the disciples in Luke 6, we know Andrew was one of the disciples. But the other one of the two that were John's disciples that followed Christ, the name isn't mentioned here. The name's not mentioned here. So who's it referring to? Well, most people will say, and it's probably John who wrote this letter, John the Apostle, who was also one of the 12 disciples. And why do we say this? Well, it's because often in John, in this gospel, as he writes, he doesn't refer to himself by name. Happens several times throughout it. We can look at one maybe in chapter 13 if you want to see. Chapter 13, verse 23. It says, "One of them, the disciples whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him," and reclining next to Simon Peter, and then it goes on talking. And often it talks about this disciple whom Jesus loved throughout the letter. And we see, it seems John was a humble man and wasn't referring to himself and wasn't referencing his name, but we know it's talking about John. It's probably the person that was here in our passage as well. And so we see that both of these people eventually become disciples of Jesus. And so in verse 37 to verse 39 here in this section, we see quite clearly that disciples follow Jesus, not just for a little bit, but they keep following Jesus as well. And this is what we must do if we are to make disciples. If this is what Jesus so much desires of us, this is what we are to be doing to make disciples. We need to tell people about Jesus. They need to hear about him, but then they need to follow him as well. And we need to aim to see them follow him, follow his teaching, and follow his life. Like we heard before, Jesus says in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything he has commanded. And why? Why are we to teach, as we make disciples, teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded? Well, because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, because whoever claims to be in God must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to be in God must walk as Jesus did. Following Jesus is essential as a Christian. Luke as well, in Luke 14, verse 27, it says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Anyone who doesn't carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If we don't follow Christ, we can't be his disciple. And if we aren't following him, then we're showing and living in a way that shows we're not his disciple. Because a disciple learns from their master and follows their master. And we are to be like that with Christ. Is this our focus in life? To follow Christ. To learn from him. To walk as he did. To be like him. And to teach others to do the same. This is what we are to be doing. If we're a disciple, we are to be following. But we are as well to be teaching others to follow him. This is what we need to be doing. This is what our families, this is what our churches and ministries most need from us. To follow Christ. To be like him. This is what my family most needs from me. What Grace and Pearl most need from me is to follow Christ and to be more like Christ. This is what our ministries, my ministries, need from me, is to be more like Christ and to follow him. And this is what our world, everyone around us most needs from us, is to follow Christ and to be more like him. Because as we're doing that, we're shining the gospel in our lives, but we will be telling people as well, just like Christ did. That is what we most need to be doing. Follow Christ and teaching others to be doing the same. So are you following Christ? And are you teaching others to do that? Because disciples need to be doing this. We're first learners. We are first learners about Christ. This is what these two disciples first did. They heard John say, look, the Lamb of God. But then, after being learners of who Jesus is, we follow him. We walk as he did. And we learn and continue to learn from him. And then we come to the third and final thing in this passage of what a disciple is like. The pattern of discipleship. The third thing is that disciples then tell others about Jesus as well. And we see that here in our passage in verse 40 to 42. Verse 40 firstly says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So Andrew was one of those who had heard what Jesus had said and had followed Jesus. This is really a summary of what we've just been saying, a summary of what has just happened in the passage. These two points that we've looked at so far. These two, Andrew and who we're saying the other to be John, the apostle, have heard what John the Baptist said, and then they have followed Christ. They heard that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and this made them want to follow. And this is, as we've been saying, what we must do as disciples and to make disciples. But also, we see here, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, goes on to do what a disciple should also do. Not just hear about Jesus, not just follow Jesus and walk as he did, but then also tell people about Jesus. And do it straight away. This is what we see he does here, straight away. Verse 41, have a look. Verse 41, it says, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. Now, when you first read this story, we'll get back to this verse, but when you first read this story, you may be thinking, from this story of how the disciples come to Jesus, you may be thinking, what about in the Gospels and how they come to Jesus in the Gospels? It seems a bit different to what happens here, and it seems to contradict the other Gospels. But we need to understand that what's recorded here and what's recorded in the other Gospels is two different things, two different events. What's recorded in the other Gospels of how Jesus calls Peter and Andrew when they're in the boat, we see it actually happens after this encounter in John. And we can see this if you turn to Mark chapter 1. If you want to turn there, Mark chapter 1. We see one of the recordings about where the other disciples are called. And we see it with Andrew and Peter here. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. That's John the Baptist. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So we see here, this story is placed after John the Baptist is put in prison. But we know back in John, our story of Andrew and Simon Peter, comes just after John has been baptizing. So we see here that this story in John is earlier on to what's recorded in Mark chapter 1 and Luke 5 and in Matthew as well, Matthew chapter 4. They already had an encounter with Jesus before those accounts, and it's here in 1 John, and maybe they had others as well. And this probably helps explain as well why when Jesus calls them, like in our passage in Mark, what we just read, Mark chapter 1, when he calls them to come and follow him, they immediately leave everything and do it. It's because they already know Jesus. They know who he is, that he is the Messiah. And that would help explain why they just leave everything straight away and follow him at that call to now be his disciple. So this explains why what is going on in John and then compared to the other Gospels. But now back to John's account. And here what we're seeing as we're going through it, that Andrew doesn't keep the message that he has heard to himself. He shares it with others. He seeks for others to as well be a disciple. And this is what disciples must do. We must tell others. It's what we do when we find something we love, something that we've really enjoyed. We want to tell others about it. If it's a diet that's really worked for us, or a holiday destination that we loved and really enjoyed, or some restaurant that we enjoyed, we want to tell others about it, recommend it to them, and tell them to try this out or to go here and do this. And this is what Andrew is doing. He has found something that is the greatest message, the Messiah. He's found the Messiah, and he wants to tell others about him. And John, like we saw at the beginning, had simply said, look, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God. Andrew follows along with John the Apostle. And then already here we're seeing more become disciples because of it. Just from John at the beginning saying, look, the Lamb of God. So though what we say when we're sharing the gospel, it might be simple, God can use it in great ways. Though it may be simple, God can use it. And so what we need to be doing in our lives is telling people about Jesus. That is how we make disciples. And I challenge you, how many conversations have you had about the gospel? Maybe just in the last month. Think about that. Or even the last week. Have you had one this last week? When really we should be wanting to have one as often as we can, every day, every hour. We should be aiming and wanting to share the truth of what we have been given, that we have found the Messiah. We can tell people so much every day about what we've done on the weekend, something we've enjoyed. We tell people so many things, but are we telling them the greatest message that we have? That we have found the Messiah. And that's the message we need to tell them. It's not complicated. Look at how Andrew shares with Peter. He comes to him and says, we have found the Messiah, the Savior, the promised one, the anointed one, who was coming to save. We found the Messiah, that is the Christ, the one who would save them, restore them, the one the Old Testament prophets had been promising about and talking about. Andrew has found the greatest thing, the great treasure, the pearl of great price, and he tells others and he wants to tell others about it. And that's what we need to do. That's the message. We need to tell people we have found the Messiah. We need to share with them personally, we have found Christ. We have found the one, the Savior, who has forgiven us of our sin. And we need to tell them that. Tell them about him, what we know of him in our lives. And I challenge you tonight, right now, think of someone in your life, someone at work, someone you might sit next to on the bus, someone you might be able to share the gospel with? Just one person even this week. Think of that person. Maybe write it down now. And start praying to God for opportunity to tell them about Jesus. That is where disciples of Jesus are formed, when they're first told about him. So I challenge you, think of one person, just one person right now. And I challenge you to share the gospel with them this week. And then do what we see here Andrew does, and bring them to meet Jesus. We see this is what Andrew does in verse 42. And they, Andrew, and we're saying John the Apostle, the two that were John the Baptist's disciples, they brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. We must bring people to Jesus to meet him. And how can we do this? Well, we can do it with God's word. We can share God's word with them. That is where we meet Jesus. But as well, at church, or where Christians gather, or in our lives, as they see how we live, they can meet Jesus and God and who he is in how we live. And that is what we need to do. And as we do that, pray that God would give opportunity in that life, and that God would transform that life and that person to be able to trust in him. Though Simon, he's brought to Jesus. We see here he's brought to Jesus, but Jesus already knows him. And we see as well he transforms him. And it shows in how his name is changed. He was called Simon, but he is now called Cephas in the Aramaic language, which means Peter in Greek. And that is the meaning of that word is rock. We see Jesus transforms his person and changes his name. And that's showing that he already knows Peter and he is transforming him. And in Matthew, we see something. It's interesting why he calls him this word rock, why he calls him Peter. We could look at this for a while, but in Matthew, one key thing we see in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, "You are a rock." And the word there is the masculine Greek word for rock. "You are a rock. And on this rock," the feminine Greek word for rock, "I will build my church." Now, this is not saying that Peter is the rock that the church will be built on, which the Catholics can wrongly believe in certain ways. Instead, when you read all of it, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 20, you see that Jesus is referring to the truth and the message that Peter has just declared in verse 16, saying, "You are the Christ," Peter has just said. And it is on that truth that the church will be built on, that Jesus is the Christ. And that's why the second word there, "on this rock," in the feminine, is being used. And it's on that that the church will be built. But certainly we see that through Peter, he is a rock that shares that rock of the truth of Jesus as the Christ. We see it straight away in Acts chapter 2, a powerful sermon, but in the rest of Acts as well, we see Peter share the message that Jesus is the Christ. And that is the rock that the church is built on. So what Jesus means here back in John by calling Peter the rock, we see firstly he knows Peter, he already knows him, but as well he's transforming him, and he is going to use Peter to share the message that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. He's going to use Peter to tell others about him, that he is the Christ. And God can do this to those who, like Peter, hear the message of Jesus and are brought to him. So do this with people. If you want to see people become disciples, let them hear about Jesus, tell them about him, and bring them to meet him. This is what was done with Peter, and then we see Peter powerfully used in God's work. One of my lecturers helpfully said to me, and I found this helpful in my life, he said, all of us, as Christians, we all need three people in our life, a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. We all need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. A Paul, someone who we sit under and learn from, and grow from and are discipled by. We all need a Paul. We all need a Barnabas, someone who worked alongside Paul, worked together in the Christian life, and were helped each other along the way, walked alongside him in the Christian life. We all need a Paul, someone to sit under, a Barnabas to walk alongside, and we all need a Timothy, someone Paul discipled and mentored and wanted to grow and taught. We all need those three people in our life, and this is just what our passage has showed us as well. We need to be a disciple who hears about Jesus. We need to be a learner. We need to be sitting under someone. We need to be learning about Christ. But also we need to follow him. And we see here these two followed Christ alongside one another. These two disciples followed Christ. But then as well, we need to tell others about Jesus. Seek to mentor others, input into others' lives as well. And we need to check in our lives, do we have people like that in our lives? I think too often it's easy to have the people alongside us, those that are our friends, that walk alongside us in the Christian life at a similar stage, that are like the Barnabas, just alongside us in ministry. But do we have someone who is over us, that we're sitting under? Do we have someone like that, who we're sitting under to be discipled by? And do we have someone that we are seeking to input into, to disciple, to tell them about who Jesus is, to grow them? Do we have these people in our lives? If you don't, I challenge you tonight, maybe write down one person who you could sit under and learn from. It's one person that you can be discipled by, and seek that out. Pray that God would give that in your life. And then as well, pick just one person that you can invest into and that you can disciple and that you can mentor and tell about Jesus and grow to know him. Pick one person in each of these areas and write them down. I challenge you to do that. And just start small. Don't start too big trying to do heaps and do all these things. Just start small. Jesus chose 12 and he said to them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what we need to do. Don't overburden yourself, but just choose one person even and seek to make them a fisher of men, that they too would be trained up to take someone and tell them about the gospel and train them up to know Christ and form a disciple in them. Just pick one person to do that in your life, where you'll seek to invest in their life, grow them to be a disciple of Christ, and train them to do the same in someone else. Just pick one person and you'll see it grow. Go and make disciples, Jesus says. And how do we do it? Well, we've seen it in this passage. How do we do it? What's the process? What's the pattern? Well, tell them who Jesus is to make a disciple. Tell them who Jesus is. And then teach them to follow and obey all that he has commanded. And finally, teach them to tell others about Jesus and to do that same process in someone else's life. And don't underestimate this work that God's called us to. Don't ever underestimate it. Peter, we see come to know Christ and be a disciple used powerfully by him right from the beginning, just because John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God. And then Andrew says, we have found the Messiah. Don't underestimate the work of sharing the gospel with people, of seeking to lead people to Christ and grow them to know him more. And as you're doing this, just a last challenge as well. As you do this, make sure that you are a disciple. Make sure that you are a disciple, that these things are actually in your life. Before you go out seeking to make disciples, to grow people to know Christ, make sure these things are in your life. Have you heard about Jesus? Are you wanting to learn about him? Have you learned about Jesus, who he is? Is he your Savior? Is he the Lamb of God who has paid for your sin on your behalf? Have you heard about Jesus? Are you following him now? Are you wanting to be more like him? Are you wanting to walk as Jesus did? And are you telling others about him, about the greatest message that you know, that you have found the Messiah? If you're not doing that, you're showing that you're not a disciple. This is what disciples do, and we need to check if we are disciples of Jesus. And if you aren't doing this and you aren't a follower of Christ, then I just challenge you tonight, if you're not yet a disciple, then come to him. Come to Christ. I have found the Messiah. I have found the Messiah. And I know that the deepest secrets of your life, the deepest sins that you can have great guilt over, he can forgive that. I have found the Messiah and I know he can forgive. So come to him. He can forgive the deepest secret, darkest sin that you are hiding. He can forgive you. Come to him. He says, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and become as well a disciple that hears about him, follows him, and tells others about him as well. And when you do that, then teach others to do the same. Teach others to do the same, and let's see God's kingdom grow as we do this. This is making disciples. This is how disciples are made. We see a pattern in Jesus' first disciples, and this is what we must be doing in our lives. This is what Jesus wants from us. We see a pattern right here, and we see how we can be doing it in our lives. And we can do it because we do it all in the authority and power of Christ. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples." We have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can do it in that power and strength. So let's do that. Let's be people that are disciples, hearing about Jesus, learning from him, following him, telling others about him, so that then we can teach them to do the same in their life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this passage where we see a model of the disciples coming to Christ. And we thank you for how we can learn from this and be challenged to be sure that we are truly a disciple. We just pray that you would help us to check our lives by these things, to see whether we really are a disciple of you. And as well, I just pray for us that we would seek to carry out this work in our lives, in our ministries, in this church. This is what you call us to. This is what you desire from us. And I just pray that in our lives we wouldn't be distracted by many other things, but that you would help us remember what is our goal, what you desire of us. And please, Lord, help your kingdom grow through us. And we thank you for the privilege to be able to be used in this service for you to see other people come to know you and to follow you. And we thank you for this privilege, God. And just pray that we would always be doing this, but doing it always in your strength that you can give. And we thank you for the strength and thank you for the power that is in you that enables this. Amen.